for anyone who is or has a boss, this is The Boss Show with Jim Hessler and Steve Matenko.
Today on The Boss Show, got somebody in your office who makes you crazy? Jim and Steve, along with Boss Show regular Elizabeth Bowman, explore 10 typically annoying types.
I bet you will see yourself or one of your coworkers in one or several of these.
If you don't see yourself, you're not being honest.
Exactly.
And they'll offer up some suggestions on how you can deal with them.
We're going to try to give you a tip or two on each one to help you to deal with that person, even if that person is you.
Right now on The Boss Show.
Hello, I'm Jim Hessler. I'm the business guy.
Yes, you are, and I'm Steve Matenko. I'm the psychology guy, and it's a psychology show today, Jim, because
we've got
Elizabeth. You'll just have to buck up, buddy boy. We've got Elizabeth Bowman, frequent Boss Show contributor, regular guest, and good friend. Elizabeth is here in the studio with us. Jim, did you know that? Can you see her? She's standing right there.
She's kind of short, but I did notice.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she'd appreciate already picking on the short girl. Why not?
And she's here to talk today about a blog post she wrote recently about personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. I've changed the title of that a little bit because I like my title better.
Is snarky, sarcastic humor one of the 10?
No, it isn't. That's number 11.
Okay,
we're adding it to the list tonight. So personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. I bet you will see yourself or one of your coworkers in one or several of these.
If you don't see yourself, you're not being honest.
Exactly. So we want to really ask you to recognize yourself in some of these. It'll be much easier to recognize your coworkers, but see if you can recognize yourself. We're going to try to give you a tip or two on each one to help you to deal with that person, even if that person is you. So personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. What's the first one, Elizabeth?
The very first one is the social butterfly.
Oh.
This is the person who is really good at making conversation. They're always conversing throughout their...
For anyone who is or has a boss, this is The Boss Show with Jim Hessler and Steve Matenko.
Today on The Boss Show, got somebody in your office who makes you crazy? Jim and Steve, along with Boss Show regular Elizabeth Bowman, explore 10 typically annoying types.
I bet you will see yourself or one of your coworkers in one or several of these.
If you don't see yourself, you're not being honest.
Exactly.
And they'll offer up some suggestions on how you can deal with them.
We're going to try to give you a tip or two on each one to help you to deal with that person, even if that person is you.
Right now on The Boss Show.
Hello, I'm Jim Hessler. I'm the business guy.
Yes, you are, and I'm Steve Matenko. I'm the psychology guy, and it's a psychology show today, Jim, because we've got Elizabeth. You'll just have to buck up, buddy boy. We've got Elizabeth Bowman, frequent Boss Show contributor, regular guest, and good friend. Elizabeth is here in the studio with us. Jim, did you know that? Can you see her? She's standing right there. She's kind of short,
but I did notice.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she'd appreciate... already picking on the short girl. Why not?
And she's here to talk today about a blog post she wrote recently about personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. I've changed the title of that a little bit because I like my title better.
Is snarky, sarcastic humor one of the 10?
No, it isn't. That's number 11.
Okay,
we're adding it to the list tonight. So personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. I bet you will see yourself or one of your coworkers in one or several of these.
If you don't see yourself, you're not being honest.
Exactly. So we want to really ask you to recognize yourself in some of these. It'll be much easier to recognize your coworkers, but see if you can recognize yourself. We're going to try to give you a tip or two on each one to help you to deal with that person, even if that person is you. So personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. What's the first one, Elizabeth?
The very first one is the social butterfly.
Oh.
This is the person who is really good at making conversation. They're always conversing throughout their workday, and they're never actually sitting at their desk and getting anything done.
No, man drives me nuts. I'm kind of Mr. Task-oriented guy. And I probably go the other end. I tend to not spend enough time chit-chatting with people to develop relationships. Jim, you got something to say?
Well, I just made my first check mark. because this is the first one of which I'm sure I've been guilty a number. And it happens when I get like bored or I'm facing into a task that I really don't want to do. And then this is refuge of just like walking around and bothering everybody. It's great avoidance behavior.
So
it's
like playing solitaire. Yeah, exactly.
So what do we do with people who are too chit-chatty at work?
Well, definitely making sure that they have deadlines, because if you're somebody who is the social butterfly, sometimes it's because you're such an extrovert. It's part of your personality and you want to be out talking with people and not sitting at your desk until that deadline sets in, and then you have to, right? So giving deadlines can also help out and go against that.
But even in the moment, if you're the person who's being butterflied too, right? Is that a good term?
Yeah. Sure.
I always found this like standing up, or grabbing a file, you know, kind of like putting one foot in front of the other, like you're going somewhere. That can actually be really
effective.
That is
a really undervalued technique.
Yeah.
It works so well. It's subtle. People don't think about it, but it really works so well. And I think what people, the other thing people need to know about social butterflies is that often they, if you listen to them, if you engage with them for 30 seconds or a minute, it's kind of all they really need. They'll keep going beyond that, but they need that engagement, but they don't need a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So develop that relationship and then go ahead and do that body language thing to move on.
Exactly.
What's the next one?
So number two on our list is the people pleaser. So this is somebody at work who they just can't say no. So if you go ask them to do something for you or you need a task done, they're always going to say yes, which means they're not going to be productive during the day getting their stuff done because they're doing everybody else's work in the office.
Yeah, drives me nuts again. And this is actually a personality style that shows up on a lot of personality typing tests.
Is this a, I'm sorry, I'm going to piss off a lot of people here. Is this a gender thing at all? It seems like most of these people that I've met tend to be women.
Oh, you're going there, huh? See, and I'm the woman that's married to the man that's a people pleaser.
Okay, well, there you go.
So I don't know.
So maybe that's just a prejudice on my part.
If you're going to...
Don't tell my husband I said that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he won't know. Maybe he doesn't listen to the show. Well, it can't be.
I know.
Well, you know, and again, how do you combat this if you're the people pleaser? Well, you just got to learn to say no once in a while. I think even people pleasers probably want to say no sometimes, and they just don't feel comfortable doing it.
And I think the setting the deadlines idea, as for the social butterfly, is a valid strategy. You know, if they're overcommitting because they're afraid people aren't going to like them if they don't say yes to everything, it's a pretty deeply rooted personality issue. So you're not going to get to it by just telling them to say no. You're going to get to it, I would think, by, again, setting deadlines, when can you have this by, being really specific about the tasks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what we see all the time with the person that is that people pleaser at the office, and maybe the listener, is a people person, but a lot of times we see that those are the people that are working late into the night or on the weekends because they've been doing everybody else's tasks all week, and then they finally get around to their list at the off hours.
I've got clients like that, Yeah.
Steve's point is a good one. This is probably a deep psychological issue with a lot of people. So it may not be solvable in many cases.
So let's move on to one that maybe is more solvable. I don't know. What's the next one, Elizabeth?
Oh, I love this one because I see it all the time. The distracted one.
I'm sorry. What'd you say? I wasn't paying
attention.
Yeah,
exactly. The person that really wants to click on every single social media update, every text message they receive, maybe getting their fantasy football scores on the side of their screen instead of their email, and really are always distracted, whether it's by a person or just by the stuff on their computer, and never actually getting their work done either.
Is this not the bane of every manager's existence?
Well, and this person might be buying into the multitasking myth too, right?
It is a myth, for sure.
More and more we're finding out brain science tells us multitasking is a myth, and some people probably don't realize how much personal productivity they're losing by doing that.
In fact, that's number five. We're going to skip one, but the multitasker is number five on the list.
Yeah, the person that is just constantly juggling everything, they're never focused.
Yeah.
That decreases efficiency just, you know, time over time, because you're just constantly moving between one thing to the next. And there's all kinds of studies done that says every time you get interrupted or you try and move from one task to the next task, it takes you 20 minutes to get back to where you were.
And I think it gives you the illusion of accomplishing more than you actually are. I think it's a flight from depth, right? Does that make sense?
Right.
You know, because some of the stuff that really requires your deepest thinking is the hardest stuff you have to do. And by kind of flitting around, spending 5 minutes on it and then doing 5 minutes, you can avoid having to really do the hard intellectual work.
And you'll lull yourself into a false sense of accomplishment because I got that email done. I got that email done. Right. I got that email.
Right.
And you're never getting to the really
substantial
important
things.
Well, and we find that some people wear that multitasker association. They kind of wear it as a badge of honor.
Sure. Right.
You know, like they're able to multitask and they're forgetting that they're not actually getting the right things done.
Right.
Yeah. Take a look at the brain research on multitasking. It's really consistent. It actually does not exist as a phenomenon. When we come back, we'll get into more personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. You're listening to The Boss Show. Elizabeth Bowman is with us again on The Boss Show. She's president, she's productivity consultant and president of the Seattle-based productivity organization, Innovatively Organized. You can find her at iOrganized on Twitter and on the web at innovativelyorganized.com. That's kind of a mouthful, but I think I got through it.
And it says what she does quite well.
It does. And she does it quite well, we know,
yes.
Because our not only...
We know some of her clients.
Yes, we do. Yes. We won't mention their names for a fee.
Yeah, no, we like to keep our clients a little confidential.
Yeah, sure.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. The next one is...
Next one is somebody like me, the perfectionist.
Oh.
I know. Dun.
Oh my God, I'm surrounded.
Yes, he is surrounded quite literally on both sides by perfectionists. What's wrong with perfectionism?
Well,
I thought it was a good thing.
You know, everybody thinks it's a good thing. It actually hurts you when it comes to being productive in two different ways. One, perfectionists tend to get tunnel vision and get hyper-focused into a project.
And that never happens to me.
Never happens to me either. I like to be honest. I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Self-awareness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they tend to get hyper-focused. They start working on a project and when they should be done after an hour, they keep tweaking and keep fixing and it takes much longer. The other way perfectionism actually hurts you when it comes to being productive is most perfectionists actually tend to be a procrastinator, which is one of the other ones on our list, because they procrastinate simply because if they don't think they have enough time to get it done perfectly in that time frame, they'll never start.
Well, and they're delaying the pain of having to produce something that isn't perfect.
Right.
And by not completing it, they don't ever have to deal with that pain. You don't have that problem.
I can see
you
that.
Finish.
No, I actually don't. Yeah, and I'm not a procrastinator at all. I'm really happy to say that.
Yeah.
It's not because I've overcome something. It's just procrastination, I'm so lucky, it just doesn't come naturally to me. I do have that hyper-focus thing, though. And what I do, and I don't know if this is a tip that's useful for you as you listen to this, but what I do is I actually use my kind of hyper-organization, which goes along with perfectionism, to moderate my perfectionism. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, if I have a task that I think should take an hour, I won't allow myself 2 hours to do it, which it would be natural for me to do. I'll schedule an hour into my calendar and then I'll schedule something after that so that if I spend that hour and I get to good enough and I'm tempted to make it perfect, which is me, I'll say, okay, is it really good enough? Is it so important to me to continue to refine this thing that I'm willing to give up the other things I've scheduled for myself for today? And generally it isn't. So
you bring up a great point, and it's something that we do all the time. Even I do it myself, is we use timers a lot. If you're somebody that has perfectionist tendencies and you're that person in the office, then set a timer, whether it's on your computer, it's on your mobile device, whatever it is, for that 1 hour when that task is supposed to fit. And then get up from your desk at the end of the hour and take a little bit of a break. Because perfectionists, because they can get hyper-focused, they kind of need to take a walk and then come back and they'll see it with fresh eyes and realize, actually, it's finished. They don't need to spend another 2 hours on it.
Yeah, I need to do that more than I do.
And an interesting way this shows up, too, is in presenting and giving speeches and things like that. I think it's entirely possible to over-prepare for a presentation, for example.
Yes.
And then you get wrapped up in your preparation and you lose the opportunity to connect with your audience because you're so rigid about following your script,
right,
about things. And I think that that's another thing perfectionists need to think about, is the way that it might actually close them off relationally to other people because of that.
Yeah.
Next one on the list, Elizabeth, is the reactor. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is the person that is constantly reacting to all the fires in the office. Mm-hmm. So every situation that pops up, they just react to it, and they're never proactive with getting stuff done on their list and being productive during their day, because they're just reacting to all these situations around them. Sometimes they're fabricated, right? Sometimes they're, you know, caused by other coworkers, and sometimes they're just reacting to emails popping in their inbox.
And often the corporate culture in which this person works actually rewards that behavior significantly.
Oh, it fuels the fire. Yeah.
So there's a lot of overlap, because there's overlap with the distracted one and the multitasker and the perfectionist, because the perfectionist, I have that tendency myself, I think. I tend not to think, as Jim well knows, strategically, tend not to give myself the leeway to think creatively, because I'm very organized. I'm very perfectionistic. If I'm thinking creatively, there's no end, mm-hmm. right? There's no perfect goal that I can reach right. in creativity or strategy.
Yeah.
And you're leading us right into our next one too.
Which is?
Our next one's the idea generator. It's that creative
check.
Personality.
Check.
That
I'm going to give myself two checks for that one.
I'll give you three.
Maybe you're next, instead of a check, you're going to invent a new symbol.
Yeah, see? There you go. I'll spend a long time thinking about it too,
exactly.
I'm sure.
And not follow through with
yeah.
it. No, just kidding.
And Steve will get at least four long emails from me about the topic before we decide to do anything.
With really thorough and deep reflections that I won't have time to read.
Yes. And so the idea generator in most offices, and maybe this is you, it's the person that is maybe the CEO, maybe the entrepreneur right. at a smaller company, but the person that constantly has all these new ideas and they're so excited. We almost named this one when we came up with this.
The Jim Hassler.
We almost named it the shiny red object person, because that's essentially what it is. There's all these new shiny red objects that they go after invent.
And the magic, I think, the thing that has to be really carefully thought about in leading this person is, this is a huge asset for most organizations to have this idea generator.
It is. It's
a
huge asset.
And frankly, it's a fairly rare person. There aren't a lot of them out there.
Right.
And so how do we find a home for them in our organizations where they don't drive everybody nuts, but we're also getting the value from their ideas?
Yeah.
And throttling to them, to, you know, putting them in some sort of a constrained space so they don't go too far outside the lines. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, we think of it as a leadership quality, and it is absolutely a leadership quality, because they have the vision that managers who aren't leaders, or anyone who isn't a leader, doesn't have. And that star needs to be hitched to a wagon
right.
to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. The idea generator, their biggest downfall when it comes to being productive is not wanting to sit still and put things on a to-do list and check things off. And that's where other coworkers with those skill sets around them can be very helpful.
Yeah, right. This is a person that needs to work with excellent project managers and highly organized people. And so when this person generates an idea, I can think of somebody in my career that just did this beautifully with me. Every time I came up with an idea, he always said, good idea, you know, ... Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about, you know, how we're going to get that done. And if it's a higher priority than the stuff we're already working on. And I found that to be a very respectful, he agreed it was a good idea. And a lot of times he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. I just don't know if we can do it. You know?
Yeah.
So,
hey, we're not done. We're going to come back after the break and talk about just a couple of more personality quirks that drive coworkers nuts. You're listening to The Boss Show. I wanted to say a word about the procrastinator. We kind of glossed over that a little bit. You, Elizabeth, framed the procrastinator as kind of a form of perfectionism, but I sometimes I think the procrastination is not a form of perfectionism. It's sometimes it's just a dysfunction. You know, it's a result of people not being in the right job, not having the right skills, not having confidence. And so
they don't like the work. It could be a big part of it.
They don't like the work.
They're putting it off because they don't enjoy it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And in that case, man, maybe the best idea is just to get rid of them. Or to shore up their skills, if that's possible, obviously.
Listen to you, Mr. Hardass.
Well, sometimes it's not always skills, too. We see people that are just burnt out, right? And so sometimes you just need to give them encouragement, and then that can get them over the hump of procrastinating on everything, too.
Right. If it's a confidence thing, especially. Right. But sometimes procrastination happens when you've outlived your interest in this job.
You're burned out.
Next one on the list is
I feel like we need a drum roll or something. One on the list is the overly organized person, and it sounds like this might be the same as a perfectionist.
It's a check mark for me.
It's a little bit different because this is the person that we find all the time who tends to have file folders for everything or a checklist for everything. Everything has to be so organized that you're almost slowing yourself down, because we have, you know, clients that we work with that will just set up all these organizational systems, but they'll never actually get anything done because they love organizing so much that they're never actually getting their job done. They just keep reorganizing and reorganizing.
I'm
going to give myself a half a check mark on that one, because I'll sometimes spend too much time on my to-do list.
You create structures.
Well, sometimes it is another form of procrastination. Is just, I'd rather just reorganize it again versus get it done.
And as a solo entrepreneur, or kind of a quasi solo entrepreneur, I have a great fear of forgetting things. And I know there's no one else around me to remember a lot of these things. So I put a lot of things on paper because of that.
Yeah. Elizabeth, you're a productivity consultant. One would think that you're helping people get more organized all the time. How do you deal with someone who comes to you and says, I'm overly organized, or a manager comes to you and says, my employee is overly organized?
So we use the KISS method with them. We tell them to keep it simple.
Stupid.
Silly.
Oh, no. Silly, of course. Right. I forgot.
Yeah.
You know, Steve.
We do. We actually...
Keep it simple, Steve.
We actually have to take their structure and have them dial it back a bit and tell them why they're slowing themselves down by over-creating the structure.
Separate the productive...
Right.
Activities for
and so we have to get those people operate really well when you give them guidelines and rules. And so we say, here you go. Here's a guideline. You need to have only 10 folders, not 500 folders. Right. And let's practice using just 10. And that's usually painful for them. But it works. It helps simplify it.
And the last personality quirk that drives coworkers nuts, according to Elizabeth Bowman, president of Innovatively Organized, is...
the flat out lazy person. That one drives me bonkers.
No one in this room gets a check mark.
Hey,
on that one.
I am going to disagree with this. I actually, for quite some time, I have argued with people who use the word lazy applied to themselves or anyone else. I actually don't believe in lazy.
Oh.
I believe that the label lazy always masks something deeper. Like, you know, procrastination because they don't have the skills, procrastination because they don't have the confidence.
Lack of motivation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lack of motivation that goes to something deeper. Laziness is, it's never a choice to be lazy. It's always a choice to do something other than the work. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what are they doing other than the work? And answering that question is much more valuable to me than calling someone lazy.
I'll agree with part of that. I think there are people that sponge off of other people's contributions. And I don't know if that's laziness or not. People who don't contribute what they should and reap the benefits of other people's labor. That I would tend to maybe inch into the lazy category. It's more manipulative. I don't know.
The people I kind of lump into that lazy category are the people that show up and do the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're never going to be the person taking initiative, or they're never going to even try and compete with the idea generator. They're just going to skate by.
Yeah. Again, to me, and you know, I recognize that kind of personality type. And to me, it's not a personality style that you'd find on a personality typing test. It's a dysfunction.
Yeah.
It means something fundamentally is wrong with this person's approach to life, because nobody truly wants to choose to go through life doing the bare minimum. It's not a satisfying way for anybody to be. Mm. So it's going to be based in fear.
Interesting.
Well, I will trust you on that one, since you're the psychology guy in the duo.
I am the psychology guy.
So what would you do if you ran into one of these people? As an organizational expert, what's your response to that personality quirk.
You know, what's really funny. The people that engage us as productivity consultants typically are not the person that right. says that they're lazy.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the people that probably are too lazy to ever pick up the phone to work with us.
Yeah,
so unfortunately, we work with about the other 9 options and not this one too often. It's usually the one everybody else is complaining about.
Once again, that female voice you hear on the Boss Show podcast is Elizabeth Bowman. You can reach her at innovativelyorganized.com. You're absolutely going to want to follow her on Twitter at iorganized. That's the letter I, organized. Elizabeth, once again, what a great pleasure to have you in the studio. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You are listening to The Boss Show.
Are you looking for advice or support in your job? The Boss Show's Steve Matenko can help you out personally. As a leadership coach, Steve provides one-on-one consultation and support. Contact him today at thebossshow.com. This has been The Boss Show.